Transparency, what's your story? This podcast talks to those who have been through, went through, and are able to discuss life, loss, and happiness through transparent moments in their lives. From all walks of life, I discuss the triumphs, tribulations, and this thing we call life. I'm your host, Mr. John. I'm a father, life coach, singer-songwriter, motivational speaker, but more importantly, I'm happy you stopped by to take a listen. Good afternoon, party people, or good day, wherever you may be listening to. This is Mr. John. So happy to have you guys here today. Today's topics, we are going to talk about joy. What brings you joy? Also, you're going to get part two of Rachel Munoz's interview. I promise you will not disappoint. Thanks for being here. Thank you all for stopping by. I so greatly appreciate it. I'm happy you guys are enjoying the podcast. It is my pleasure and privilege to be able to bring you some stories that have been on my heart for a while. More importantly, to inspire and more importantly, push you to your next level. If you've not picked up my book, Transparency, 12 Weeks to the New You, it is on Amazon. As well as, if you like interesting stories and articles about health, mental health, physical health, personal training, needing some extra oomph to get you through the day, stop by the AliveExperienceOnline.com. It is a link in my bio. I have over 500 articles about health and fitness, about what you can do. More importantly, if you've not seen the podcast, make your way over there and check out Transparency, What's Your Story? Also, I know some of you all know we do have a telephone number. That's right. If you want to call in and tell me your story, I would really love to hear it. That number is 818-660-5374. Again, 818-660-5374. Thank you guys for your time, and as always, be well. What gives me joy? You know, I was watching This Is Us. Yeah, I'm a fan of the show. I kind of got hooked after the first episode. But this season, when Randall was getting ready for New Year's Eve, and he goes into a coffee shop to get a blueberry pie. Now, if you're not familiar with the show, I'm sorry, I could go into how Randall is and who he is. But if you've watched the show, I think you know the scene I'm talking about. So I'm doing my best to describe it. Long story short, him and his wife are having some challenges because he's running for assemblyman of a district. And it's getting to be challenging, and his wife is basically says, at this present time, if you're not going to win, you need to quit. And he's like, Randall's like, I need to be focused to run the whole course and stay in the fight. And his wife at this time has kind of said, you're not going to win, you need to stop, I'm not going to support you. This whole dialogue goes back and forth. But they have a tradition on New Year's Eve to have some blueberry pie and have a countdown. And there's been tension in the house. He hasn't been around for a month or so due to he's trying to really push and focus on this campaign. And to keep the tradition, he goes to this diner where they make blueberry pie. Goes to get it. Blueberry pie is not in. He's like willing to pay any amount to get it done. And they don't have it. They just sold the last blueberry pie. And he looks over and he sees the minister of that community sitting at this diner / cafe. So he goes over and he starts talking to him, and they're talking about, you know, Randall is basically saying why he's running and why he's running for this community and what's, you know, going on. As he's trying to make things right, I think, within himself, of being this position of I'm the underdog here, but I've got to see this thing through. And it's getting heavy and it's getting hard and it's getting to be challenging. And yet he feels he's failing as a father because he's working so hard to focus on this challenge of becoming an assemblyman in this district. And what got me was what the minister said. He said, at the end of your life, when you're laying in bed with your pink blanket wrapped around you, your thoughts aren't going to be about the things you didn't accomplish, but you're going to think about the memories that you built with your family, the memories that you built with your friends. We all are trying to build something. We all are trying to find those joyous moments that make us smile when we look back. If it was from learning how to ride your first bike, or going far back as even learning how to walk and feeling the love of your mother or your father for the first time that you can remember, or the first time that you had a taste of ice cream, the first time that you ever said the words, I love you, and the person said it back to you. Maybe it was the first time that you set a goal and you actually completed it. Whatever that first was, maybe that's your joy. For me, the things that make me happy is seeing others succeed. That really makes me happy. When I see people push past the fear, that makes me happy. When I'm motivating people, that makes me happy. To be able to share the moments because I know they triumphed through a possible tribulation, that makes me happy. That brings me joy. When somebody in passing says, hey, thank you for those words of encouragement, that brings me joy. It brings me joy when, after motivating, I come home and see my family. That brings me joy. Accomplishing goals that I, too, have, pushing through fear. Because I have to admit, doing a podcast like this is scary. Every week that I get on this mic, it is like I'm jumping out of an airplane and hoping that my parachute opens. That brings me joy. If it can touch one person to know you are worth it, you, yes, you who's listening, you are worth it. And if what I'm speaking brings you joy and brings you happiness, or even if it makes you think to find the joy in your life, that brings me joy. So keep searching, keep striving, keep experiencing. More importantly, keep moving forward to the things that truly bring you joy. And if you're in a position to pass it forward, or pay it forward, or move that joy forward, do it. The Beatles wrote, "All we need is love." Stevie Wonder wrote, "Love's in need." Rob Bass and Easy Rock wrote, "Joy and pain like sunshine and rain." Whatever brings you joy, enjoy the feeling. Ladies and gentlemen, last week we had Miss Rachel Munoz on talking about her transparent moments that she's had through Spartan races, as well as her childhood and growing up to be the woman that she has turned out to be, strong, fearless, with her phrase, "not done yet." This week in part two, we get into the challenges she is facing ahead of her with her husband. More importantly, the triumph she is facing and looking forward to at the end of this journey. Take a listen.
Your shirt says you're not done yet. You've got it in you. Take your time, believe in yourself, and do it. And the feeling you get when you hit the bell on the rig with blood dripping down to your elbow, knowing that you accomplished it, is amazing. And saying you can do that, wow, is just even that much more fun.
With blood dripping down your hand. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I have a scar on both sides of my shoulders from barbed wire. And I have a scar on the inside of my arm from a tree branch in Hawaii of 2017.
I call those war trophies. I mean, that's what you get for your, so you can remember where you were when you had it and what you were doing. Those are just trophies.
Oh, I love them. I laugh about them. I'm like, those are my battle wounds. Those are my battle wounds, because those Spartan races, you're going to battle. And I just love the feeling of being on the course with all these other amazing athletes. These people are tough. They train tough. And we all leave our stuff at that finish line. The minute we cross that line, you step on another field. All of your doubts and worries, all of your regular day life stays on the other side of that line. Once you cross that line, we're all there for one reason, for ourselves and to improve and get our own personal best. Some people go for more competition, Me, myself, I'm in a battle against myself. I want my own personal best. I want my own personal record. And I want my clean race. I want to do good. That is what I train for. I train to beat my own personal best, my own personal self.
I definitely agree. I mean, that's the reason why most people, I think, aspire to try to get out there and do that. But something you had said kind of, you know, something you had said really sticks out. As you said, you know, we all have these battle wounds. And I know for the past year or so, just with the family-wise, you have been dealing with a great challenge, and you have been battling through it with family. And as you said, being a caretaker to your husband, too, I also believe is a truly inspiring gentleman. But would you let me know the entire story as to what happened?
So my husband and I, we have been together now for 12 years, married for 6. And it was last year in April, on April 21st. It was a typical normal day, Gene. We had our normal routine in the morning. I was getting ready for work, and he was going to go out with our daughter. He had gotten her this dune buggy that he rebuilt the engine on, and he wanted to take her out and have fun. So him and his friend were going to go play in the little area over by our house. It's not too far from our house, like maybe mile and a half down the street in the dirt. And we said goodbye that morning. You know, I gave him a kiss, gave him a hug. I told him to have fun. Be careful. I'll see you later. And I call him on my lunch break. And I always call him on my lunch break to see how it's going for the day. Check in, you know, I wanted to see how the ride was, how it went. And he tells me he flipped the dune buggy. I'm like, you did what? My first reaction is, you did what? And he's like, I flipped the dune buggy. I'm like, are you effing kidding me? I was like, are you okay? Because I can't believe it. I'm like, registered. And he says he's fine. I was like, you sure? And he's like, yeah, I'm okay. My finger's a little messed up, but I'm okay. Well, he wasn't okay. When I talked to him on the phone, I was like, okay, well, you sound like you're a little out of it. Did you hit your head? And he said, yes. And I was like, okay, make sure you get a CT scan when you go to the hospital. Because I had asked him if he wanted me to leave work, but he had reassured me not to worry that it was just his finger. You know how men are. They don't like to make mountains out of molehills. They try and keep that tough look going. They want us to think that they're fine, even when they're not. So his mom took him to the hospital, and it was there during the scan that they realized he broke his neck. So what had happened was he was riding around a Honda Odyssey, and those have no suspension on them. And he was in the dirt, and he hit a pothole just the right way, and it sent the back end over the front end just straight back, goes up in the air, and he falls right on his head. The roll cage collapsed. He took part of the impact to his head.
Oh my God.
I mean, he was wearing a helmet and he was wearing gloves, and it was in a split second. I mean, nobody knew what to think because he did everything you're not supposed to do. You know, he unstrapped himself when he came to because he blacked out riding when he hit. He unstrapped himself. He fell down. He got up. He fell down again. He stood up again. He took his helmet off. He walked over to his friend's truck, and he told his friend, put a Band-Aid on it, bro, as he held up his finger because his finger's bleeding like crazy. I mean,
wow.
It was everything. My daughter was watching. His friend was recording. So I actually have a recording of this. And I'm just like,
oh my gosh, okay.
I was like, oh my God. And my daughter, she's in the background. Go, Dad. She thought he did a trick. Nobody registered how bad the damage was. They didn't catch it till they saw a CT scan. Because his mom even put him in her truck and four-wheeler across the desert to the hospital.
Okay.
He didn't feel anything. I mean, he said once he started to walk into the hospital, into the ER, he kind of felt like his legs were trying to give out. Well,
mm-hmm.
He broke his neck, and it was a C1 fracture in two places. He tells me the doctor came into the room. He was pale as a ghost. And he tells my husband, do not move. You broke your C1 in two places. You should be a quadriplegic or dead right now. But you're not. We need to figure out how to get you over to the AV hospital because we do not do trauma here. But you cannot move. So at that point, obviously, they call me and say, Rachel, it's go time. You need to come here now. He broke his neck. We need to get him over to the AD hospital. So I leave work. I'm crying, trying to hold my shit together because Spartan Race has taught me you got to stay strong. So I hold together as best I can. I leave work. I call my best friend. I tell her, meet me at the house. Just meet me at the house. I'm not going to make it to the hospital. Meet me at the house. So then she takes me over to my mother-in-law's house and we play swap. My sister-in-law takes me to the hospital while my best friend takes my daughter back to her house for the night because I didn't know how long it was going to be. Get to the hospital in time to ride in the ambulance. And that was the worst ride because he's just shaking back and forth the ambulance. I'm like, oh my God. So get to the hospital. They clean up his finger without giving him any medicine. So that's just horrible. I mean, that's your person. You don't want to see them in pain. And he's just in excruciating pain. And we can't give him any medicine until surgery, but they need to clean out his finger because it has dirt and whatnot in it. So,
right.
I mean, this man, my finger's a little messed up. The next day they did surgery to reattach the tip of his finger. They wanted to amputate it, but they were able to reattach it. It took 2 hours to do that surgery. It took 1 hour to put the halo on.
Wow.
So
wow. And do me a favor, so that they understand, because I've met your husband and he's really, really funny and incredible dude, but how tall and how much does he weigh? Like, because he's a giant compared to me.
My husband is 6'4", and he weighs about 265. He is a tall man.
Okay, so.
So, with this big halo device on, he looks giant.
Yeah, no, he's 6'4", 260 pounds, and he's not at all chubby.
Nope.
So, you know, and he's like the nicest, he's like a gentle giant. But continue, I just want them so they can understand, you know, this, he is a walking miracle.
Yes,
so
he is.
He's got the halo on and.
Yeah, because, I mean, the doctors looked at him and like, what do you mean you walked in here? A C1 fracture, just so the audience understands. That is what Christopher Reeves did. And that's when he became a quadriplegic. When he fell off the horse, he broke a C1. Now, my husband is a walking miracle. Honest to God, 2 more millimeters to the right, and it would have cracked the brainstem, and I would not have him here. My daughter would not have his dad, and I would not have my husband. He was that close. And it's one of those crazy accidents. It's actually quite funny when you talk to people who do motocross or play in dune buggies, play with all that stuff, because it's always that last ride, Gene. And that's what he did. He said, hold on a second. Before we pack it up, man, I want to take her out for a ride and open her up and see what she can do. So he took the regulator off because we always had a regulator on it for my daughter. He took the regulator off and wanted to see what it could do. And that last ride is what happened. So
He's
now still on a halo, which is a medical device that they use to put your neck in traction so that it lifts your head off your neck so you don't have any pressure on it. In order for the fracture to heal, he has 4 screws going into his skull. He cannot really look down.
Okay.
He can't look to the side unless he turns his whole body. So, and when he first came home, he spent 2 weeks in the hospital. The first week was in ICU over at AV Hospital, which is 30 minutes from my house. And then the second week was down in Mission Hills, which is about a good hour and a half away from here. And that was for his rehab, so he could learn to walk and everything. Because the first week, he really didn't do too much. He felt all the pain. The adrenaline wore off, and he felt everything. His body was sore. It was bruised. His neck's broken. He's in a halo. He has to get used to everything. And going into rehab, I tried my best. I scheduled it so I could be there for the first, 4 days with him. And then, you know, trying to juggle work and rehab with him, but I made sure I was there. I was there for the important parts. I was there to make sure we knew what we needed to do when he came home. I made sure we had the walker, the wheelchair, the hospital bed. I made sure I made the bathroom, the shower and everything. I took the glass shower door off and put a pole that was, extra tall to accumulate his height. and put all the sticky stuff down in the bottom of the tub so he could stand there and I could take care of him. And I mean, there was just so much. And on top of that, my manager had just gone on maternity leave the week before my shop.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, writing schedules, doing banking, making sure my two new people that we just hired weren't messing up. Taking care of my husband and registering my daughter for her new school because she was going to middle school. So I had to get registered and taken care of in a new school all at once. And my husband, God bless his soul, he's like, babe, you've been at the hospital every single night. Because all this happened a week before the Dodger Stadium race.
Okay.
And I was signed up for that race. And he looked at me and he's like, babe, you've been at the hospital every single night. You've been taking care of me. I want you to go run that race. I want you to have a quick little sense of normalcy. So just go to your race and then come right back.
Wow.
What an awesome husband I have, because he was very supportive.
That must have been a very interesting race on that day at Dodger Stadium.
Oh my gosh. I think I was still in denial, Gene. Let me tell you, I ran the fastest. The year before, I ran that race in like 48 minutes. That day, I ran it in 34 minutes flat. I took first place and I left and went back to the hospital. I didn't fail a single obstacle. In my head, I'm like, I need to get back to the hospital. Do this as quickly as possible, Rachel. Do your best. Try not to do any burpees. Let's go.
You know, they say, you know, in a person's true character is never shown when they're in comfort. It's always shown during trauma and catastrophe. And what happens is the inner person rises up and either fights or flights. And I think, you know, from hearing your story, your spirit was ready to fight because you saw the fight in your husband. And that is such a transparent moment from your story that it's just incredible. But now, fast forwarding, where is the prognosis now with your husband?
Well, we did have one setback. He did get out of the halo, finally, in September. He got out of the halo. But unfortunately, after 6 weeks of being out and put in this device called a Minerva collar, which comes right underneath his chin and holds his head up, they discovered that the fracture wasn't healed enough and that it was causing all the vertebrae of the neck to come down and bulge together, and the discs were bulging outwards, and the C1 was being forced into the vertebrae and the spinal cord. So they decided that he needed to go back into the halo. So we both cried that day because he's come so far, and it was like 6 weeks of freedom from this horrible device and then going back into it.
Right.
So he's been back in it now for about 3 months, and we're crossing our fingers. His next appointment is February 4th, and we're very much hoping so that he gets out of the halo. Now, the second time around, has worked with him, and he is working from home, so that does keep him busy, and it keeps him happy, but he's still sleeping-wise. I mean, the little things people take for granted. He can't even lay down in a bed. He sleeps in the front room in a recliner chair at a 30-degree angle because that's what's comfortable, and even at that, he's been waking up lately. His shoulders are sore. He's done. He wants out, and I'm praying that he gets out on February 4th because it's been almost 9 months, and I want to see this win for him.
Well, let him know that I truly am standing in his corner like a side cheerleader, and that I am, and he's always in my prayers. You guys are always in my prayers, but, you know, just let him know that, you know, I'm standing over here by the side waiting for to see him walk up. And I promise when he does walk up with nothing on, I won't jump on him and start crying. I will not jump. I'll just grab his hand and I won't. I'll be cool. I promise. I promise you for that.
I just can't wait.
Real quick, though.
He's a strong man, so I'm proud of him, because mentally, anybody that thinks of anything at all mentally wise, it can't even. I am so proud of him for his mental game for handling this, because he's done so good. He is amazing. I know I can't handle it. The fact that he's done everything
he has.
He's a strong man. I tell him all the time, babe, you're amazing. I can't even tell you how many times over and over and over again how amazing you are, because you've done so good at all of this. And we just like to tease each other playfully.
Well, that's a whole other conversation.
Yes, Not that way. I like to tease them and tell them, hey, babe, the screws are no longer loose in your head. They're pretty damn tight from where I'm sitting.
Funny. I'm going to have to get him on my show so he can tell his story soon enough. But I've got a couple more questions for you. These are what I call my rapid-fire questions. You can answer them quickly. You can answer them as long as you want. But here we go. Your favorite to-go order at a restaurant.
I love ahi tuna salads because I cannot find ahi tuna and I can't cook it myself.
Okay. What are you curious about right now?
I am curious about how much Hamilton tickets cost, because I still really want to go see it and when they're going to come back. And also how to get on that Titan game show, because I've been watching it a lot.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Titan game show. What is it that fascinates you about the show?
Those girls are amazingly strong, and so are those men, and everything they overcome. I love watching other people's stories and being inspired by them, because everybody out there has some kind of story. That's why I look at my story and I'm like, no, I'm not that important. Look at these people. Look at that crutching tigress. I'm inspired by her. But everybody on that show, on that Titan show, those girls are badass. I don't know if I can say ass, but they are badass. They are amazing women. And I want to be like them.
I'm waiting for you to put your video together so that next season when they are filming, or the next time they hear it, and I'm going to put this out here right now, NBC, as I know you guys will be watching, you'll be listening to this podcast. We got a woman right here who's going to submit her tape that needs to be on your show, because she will truly motivate and probably be one of those ultimate titans for NBC. But that's just my feeling. That's just my feeling. Real quick, though. If you had to
give up one thing, what would it be?
If you couldn't give up one thing, what would it be?
Excuse me. Give anything up, ice cream. I live healthy eating lifestyle. I really do, Gene. But ice cream is my one thing I cannot give up. I tell my husband it's my booty gang. That is the one fattening thing you can see me eat.
What's your flavor?
Ooh, white chocolate raspberry truffle by Häagen-Dazs.
Oh boy. I'm hearing a sponsorship. Are you a hunter or a gatherer?
Oh, I'm a hunter, because I'm a mom, and any other mom out there knows it. We will kill for our babies. Don't mess with the mama bear.
Yes, you will. Don't mess with the mama bear.
Right now, don't mess with my hubby, because what he can't do, I can.
Okay. When you're alone in the car, what are you thinking about?
About future plans and where life is going to take me. What and how can I supply better for my family? And am I doing everything right to be the best mom that I can be?
All right.
And if you don't question yourself as a mom, then you're not the best mom. Every mom doubts themselves. That's normal.
I think every parent... Every parent questions themselves. We may never say it, but I believe every parent questions their parent skills, because all of us are afraid of failing one way or another. If we're doing something right, if we're doing something wrong, because there's no manual to this. And, you know, you're trying to do your best, and sometimes your best is just not enough. In our eyes, in the child's eyes, they're just like, they don't know different. But I think, you know, as parents, we just, you know, we are all out there sometimes flailing, trying to do the right thing.
Yes, we are. But we will continue to fight for our kids, because they are the future.
We just want to
make the best future possible and the brightest future possible by making the best human beings that still have kindness and love and smart and just manners.
Exactly.
I don't see that anymore.
Really?
And it's scary. I don't see it as much anymore, and it's scary sometimes.
You don't see manners in children, or you don't see manners in parents?
In children, Jean, I am a hairstylist, and you would be shocked at the way these kids come in there and they speak to their parents and how their parents, it used to be when you take a child to get a haircut, the child is told to sit there and then they interact with the stylist. That's how they get socialized. But now the first thing they do, put the kid in their lap or put them by themselves and hand them the cell phone. And the kid stares at the cell phone the whole time. And if it freezes up on a video, they lose their cool.
You are not lying.
I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing to these children? You're letting these internet videos teach them things instead of being their parent and teaching them.
Quite true.
It's just sad sometimes. We're losing touch with reality.
I think we are. I definitely think we are. Which leads me to my next question. Since we're losing touch with reality, if you could be the new color of a crayon, what color would you be?
Pink.
Pink?
Because pink's a fun color. I don't know. Pink brings you joy. I think everybody smiles when they see pink. And I want to bring the happiness and joy. So if I could be any crayon color, it'd be pink. Because everybody would smile.
Pink.
And have some kind of joy. Even if it's just for that moment.
For that moment.
Mm-hmm.
For that moment.
Pink.
Pink is the color. All right, last question, and then I will let you get back to your life. But if, after you hang up this phone, you go to the store, you come outside, you pick up a lottery ticket that was on the ground, and you have the winning numbers for $10 million, what would you do?
Oh, I would do so much. I would invest in some companies, and on investing in companies, I would make sure I reach out to people who have dreams, and I would make their dreams come true, invest in them, which is investing in company, watch some of that money grow. I would put my daughter through college, set her up a college fund for her, but not just her, for all of my close friends that have kids. They don't have to worry about paying for college. That's done. I believe children are the future. They need their education. Their college would be taken care of. I would open up a gym, and I would open up a hair salon, because those are two things I'm very passionate about. And I would donate to some charities, and I would just random acts of kindness every day, because people need to be reminded that there's still hope in this world. And I would travel. Travel definitely, and continue to do Spartan races and just pay off my house, pay off my car. But I don't need a fancy mansion. I don't need no fancy cars. I just want happiness and kindness to keep going around in this world, because it reminds us of who we are as people, and it's what separates us from the animals, is that we have a choice, and the choice is to just continue to be amazing human beings, help each other out, and show kindness and show compassion and camaraderie, which is what I see out there on those Spartan courses. The camaraderie, I see passion, I see everything, and that is why I love them, because they remind you of what it's like to just separate from the stupid cell phones and the internet and technology and all of that world, and just be a person with a purpose for even just a brief moment, or however long it takes you to complete that race. Because in life, we're not done, Jean. I'm not done yet. I'm going to keep going for
it. Not done yet. You are truly not done yet. I can tell you thought about that question for a while there. That was,
nope.
That was your $10 million. You already had it planned out. I would just, you just disappear. It was like, boom, gone, planned out. Life is good.
I have dreams. I have dreams. Life would be good, but I don't need a fancy mansion, because I tell my husband all the time, eventually the money would run out possibly. And if it ever did, then you just have a big house that nobody can clean anymore because you can't afford a maid. I just would rather keep my house that I have, because I'm going to be out traveling the world making memories.
Yes.
I'm not just going to be at home all day.
Yes.
So who cares what kind of house you live in? Who cares what kind of car you drive? As long as it suits your lifestyle, you're good. I would rather have happiness, kindness, and show people of the world that there's still hope out there. Make sure the kids go to college, because like I say, they're the future.
Right.
And just happy. And I don't think money buys you happiness if you spend it on big expensive cars and lavish parties and stupid mansions. I mean, that's all great and everything, and I know it's part of appreciating wealth, but I appreciate just being at home with my family and traveling with them and doing Spartan races and living a good life.
Well, I think you are definitely on your way with everything that you've accomplished, what you are accomplishing, what you are doing. Have I left anything out or have not asked anything that you would like the audience to know?
That you all inspire me to do better, to push harder, and to keep going. You all inspire me to keep wanting to get back out there at butt crack of dawn in the freezing cold and just jump around to stay warm at that finish line and be out there with you guys. I think everybody just is amazing. And I really hope it continues to be that way, because being around like-minded people just makes the world better.
Do better, because as her shirt says, she is not done yet. Rachel,
yes.
Thank you so much for being on Transparency, What's Your Story? I appreciate you most importantly for sharing your story with me, and thank you again. I want to thank you guys again for tuning in. Every week I'm actually trying to get better, to present you guys something that's from the heart, more importantly, that you can relate to. Now, Gary Vee says it best, so I'm going to quote him. Sharing these thoughts is like oxygen to me. So if they resonate with you, if you feel that this can benefit somebody, subscribe, share, more importantly, like all my platforms, Instagram, Facebook, thealiveexperienceonline.com. And I look forward to speaking and sharing with you guys real soon. Be well.